Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
This is America on the Road, named Best Radio Show by the International Automotive Media Conference, and now in its 31st year on the air. Thanks for being with us as we bring you the latest automotive information from around the world. I'm Jack Nierad. With me is co-host Chris Teague. And Chris, as always, it is terrific to be with you.
It's terrific to be with you too, Jack. We are sliding very quickly into the cold weather here. How are things on your side of the world?
Well, you're telling me you've got the heat on there. And at some point, I'm going to have to put the heat on here, but not quite yet. But it's getting there. When I'm taking the dog out at night, cold and kind of grim out there. But this is not about the weather. This is about cars, and we have a lot to talk about car-wise. Honda has given an in-depth briefing about its upcoming all-new lineup of electric vehicles. The concepts are startling, and we'll give you the details coming up. General Motors has just ditched a major brand name as it does an about-face on its electric vehicle strategy. We'll tell you what brand they're turning their back on and give you our comments about that coming up. Maybe a little snarky. Kind of have a tendency to do that now and then. If you are thinking about buying a new car soon, you should be aware that a big percentage of buyers are now taking on massive monthly payments when they make a purchase. I'm not sure how wise that is. And in the True Crime Files Automotive Edition, we haven't done that for a while, there's a new development in the trial of a major figure in the Volkswagen Dieselgate scandal. Chris, are you excited about the new Honda EV concepts?
You know, I am and I'm not. They're still a ways off, Jack, and they don't look all that different, at least initially, than Honda's gas vehicles. So we'll have to see where they go with it.
Yeah, interesting. America on the Road is brought to you by DrivingToday.com, EMLancey.com, the publisher of my latest book, Dance in the Dark, and Mercury Insurance. If you're looking to save some money, you should switch to Mercury for your auto and home insurance. Californians save an average of $670 with Mercury, so imagine how much you could save. Get a quote today at DrivingToday.com/auto insurance. That's DrivingToday.com/auto-insurance. Well, as you longtime listeners of the show know, Chris lives at one end of the country. I live at the other. Each week we get together to talk about cars, the car industry, how you can save some money on your car. And Chris, what is your road test vehicle this week?
I spent the week in the 2024 Subaru WRX TR. It is the supposedly tuner-ready version of their all-wheel drive sports car, so I can't wait to tell you all about it.
We're all sports cars all the time this week, Chris, because I'm driving the all-new 2024 Mazda MX-5 Miata Grand Touring. This week, our special guest is Chevrolet bicyclist safety expert Mike Fry. The new Chevy Traverse has a system that is of particular use in preventing vehicle-bicycle accidents, so we'll talk with him about that. Interesting stuff. A lot of show for you this week. Stay with us, and we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jack Nierad back with you, and it is news time, and I just about lost.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
There are so many things I love about fall weather. The crisp air, the changing leaves. It's all so magical. Until my kids catch a chill outside. That's where Kohl's comes in. With cozy layers, warm jeans, and more. I found all the styles my kids need when the seasons change. Plus, I got 20% off with a coupon. And earn Kohl's cash. So here's my style forecast. Prep better for fall weather. at Kohl's. Select styles. Offers end October 20th. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Members, it's here. Milo's Rewards Week deals for members only are up for grabs. Get up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items, including select bath products. Plus, save $10 on one-gallon cans and $50 on five-gallon pails of Valspar Signature Paint. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today and get instant access to hundreds of Milo's Rewards Week deals. Lowe's knows home improvement. Offer valid 10-10 through 10-16. Program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. Like you know to check your sunroof is closed first before driving through the car wash.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Oh, no. Wait, whoa.
Yeah, checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Savings vary. Terms apply. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Iowa EPS Products was founded in 1980 on the premise of providing the highest quality EPS products and services in the industry. Being family owned and operated, relationships and loyalty remain the foundation on which this company was built. Providing expanded polystyrene products for commercial roofing and exterior wall insulation, as well as package products and below grade lightweight geoform fill, Iowa EPS Products is the trusted source throughout the Midwest. Learn more at iowaepsproducts.com.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down, covered by the Verizon 5G network, and all for less than $30 a month when you get four lines. And the best part? We give you a free Samsung Galaxy A54 5G when you switch to the Total 5G Plus Unlimited plan. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. Jack Nerad back with you, and it is news time. And, I just about lost my voice there. News time, and we have a lot of news for you, including some fascinating news, I think, from Honda. Honda has announced its Tech Zero. They had their Tech Zero or Zero Tech, I guess, meeting 2024, introducing the next generation of technologies for their upcoming EV lineup. Of course, they haven't been at the forefront of EVs up till now. I mean, the EV that you're driving, I think, is engineered by General Motors, largely. Interesting stuff here. They're taking an approach that they call thin, light, and wise, none of which applies to me, I think. I wish one of those did, but they don't. But I guess it's good for electric vehicles. Their first vehicle will come to market in 2026, or as a 2026. Among the things they're going to prioritize are low center of gravity, sporty performance, and advanced battery technology.
Well, I think it's about time, right? I mean, Honda, as you said, has leaned on General Motors for some EV development, and also with Sony on some other EV development. So this is their in-house effort, right? But it's coming in 2026. So we're still at least a year and a half away from seeing these vehicles on the street. And then, you know, going forward, they're saying they're going to release six more. I'm excited to see where they go. I just think it's been a little bit slow. However, I will throw this in there at the end of the statement of that might have been the smart approach given how things are going with demand.
Honda is an engineering company at heart, and they do a great job of engineering. And I think they approach things maybe from a different point of view, not from a marketing point of view or what the market demands so much as what we can engineer and put out there that makes sense. And so they're going to have interesting things like a new e-axle that they developed. They think the battery pack is going to be thinner. They will have a dedicated EV platform and lightweight. So I think that should be interesting. One of the things I found interesting about this too, Chris, and I love your comment, is they want to combine sporty driving experience with autonomous vehicle operation. They're talking about both in these vehicles, and I think that's kind of fascinating to put it that way.
It is, and if you look at some of the concepts, maybe not necessarily from Honda, but some of the newer concept vehicles that are coming out with Level 3 driving assistance systems, you know, the steering wheel folds away in some cases, or, you know, the seats spin around to give you kind of the space, and I think that's where Honda's kind of going with this. So if they're going to do that, you know, Level 3 in 2026 is much more reasonable than in 2024. So maybe I should cool my jets and be a little bit more patient.
Yeah, well, you know, they will also have a lot of AI-based behavior prediction integrated vehicle dynamics control. That should be interesting to make all this stuff work together. I mean, we talked recently with Danny Shapiro of NVIDIA about these software-defined vehicles, and it seems like they're taking that up. They also want improved thermal management for the batteries and for energy efficiency, and then a digital user experience. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, this tech briefing was very, very detailed in the Honda tradition. And I think it's kind of fascinating what they're going to do. But as you say, or as I think we're both going to see, the proof is going to be in the vehicles that we see in a couple of years' time.
Yeah, true.
Well, we alluded to the fact that GM is abandoning a brand name. It isn't a long-time brand name, but it's a brand name that they put a lot of effort into. It is the Ultium brand name that they had coined for their battery electric vehicles. And now they want to shift away from that because they're going to have some vehicles that don't use the Ultium technology. And they had bet a whole ton on that, and now they want to instead tailor their battery solutions to using various technologies, battery technologies, maybe some for cost reasons. It's a kind of a big about-face, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, I can see how keeping the brand name would tie people's expectations to that name. So if you're going for a cheaper battery configuration or chemistry or other configurations, you might not want to tie it to the single brand name. But, you know, as you said, they've pumped billions of dollars into this effort. They've got the Factory Zero in Michigan that are building these vehicles. So it'll be interesting to see if they have another brand or a name that they attach to this. But it is, you know, kind of a shock to see them drop the Ultium name.
Yeah, one of the things they're going to do is when the next generation Chevy Bolt comes to the market, and we could certainly use some more affordable EVs out there, so we welcome that. They're going to use different battery technology, not Ultium battery technology. And I think that's one of the reasons they decided to walk away from Ultium overall. I think they're going to look at various batteries for various platforms going forward, which kind of makes sense. They have certainly lowered their EV sales targets. At one time, it was a million units. Then it was a half a million. And now I think they're talking about something like 200,000 units this year, which is 200,000 vehicles. That makes them probably the number two U.S. electric vehicle manufacturer or seller, but still far behind their friends at Tesla. So, or maybe not friends at Tesla. interesting that they're changing the battery strategy pretty significantly. And this really is GM's strategy. It's not just their EV strategy. It is essentially the corporate strategy. And I think that's important to note, too.
Yeah. You know, it has been interesting, and I keep using that word, but it has been interesting to watch the changes in automakers' plans over the past few months, you know, cutting back on fully electric plans by 2030 and introducing more hybrids and things. So I will be keenly watching things over the next couple of years to see how these efforts actually pan out.
Yeah. Well, here's an alarming story to me. This is a story with reporting from Car Scoops based on data from Edmunds. New car buyers are taking on $1,000 plus monthly payments at what they call alarming rates. And it's kind of amazing. I mean, to think of a four-figure monthly payment for a vehicle. Apparently, one in six car buyers are taking car loans that have monthly payments in excess of $1,000. So that's a big percentage, obviously. It's about 17%, as a matter of fact. And then we're also seeing much longer terms. 7-year terms are not uncommon these days for vehicle loans. Some of this is pushed by the fact that interest rates are so high for car loans, much higher than they were, say, 2 or 3 years ago. A big whammy when you're looking at the average price of a car, close to $50,000, high interest rates, you're looking at just people taking on massive debt.
Yeah, that is a significant chunk of my mortgage if we were talking about $1,000 a month car payment for an asset that doesn't go up in value like most homes do, that actually goes down in value. You know, I don't see this getting much better as car prices are not seemingly coming back down anytime soon. But, you know, I can't imagine being tied into that. You know, you and I, you've joked with me many times. I buy more cars than just about anybody, but I've somehow avoided the $1,000 car payment. In fact, my car payment's much less than that. So it is It seems like a very big burden for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I just really wonder why people are taking this big percentage of their average income, you know, their monthly income, and throwing it, again, as you say, at a depreciating asset, and an asset that depreciates rather rapidly. It's really more of an expense than an asset. It's not like buying a home. Quite the contrary. And even on the used car side, things aren't great. I mean, people are paying less for used cars, but of course, used car values are lower. And then they're swacked by even higher interest rates on the typical used car loan, which are more like 11% versus 7% for a new car loan. So you kind of can't win here. It's pretty difficult.
Yeah, I think, you know, even my twisted automotive buying mentality, I've even reached the point where if you don't actually have to buy a car, you should probably wait. I mean, you know, I often buy on emotion, and for a lot of people that can get you in trouble. I've been very lucky so far. So I think it's time to exercise some caution if you need a car.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, we want to talk quickly about this Dieselgate trial. This has been actually suspended for former Volkswagen chief executive Martin Winterkorn. It seems like this Dieselgate scandal was long, long time ago, but he was just now coming to trial, but then they postponed it because he's in ill health. So I guess if you can outlive the, or extend things long enough, you might not come to trial even for this major, major scandal that kind of did great damage, I think, to Volkswagen and just a lot of people around the world.
Yeah, funny how the trial date thing works out, huh? It is nice to see, you know, business crimes being punished, though. I mean, they often go unpunished here. So it's nice to see that other countries are taking these things seriously.
True enough. Well, when we come back, we will be road testing some sports cars, the WRX from Subaru and the Mazda Miata. So stay with us for that. And we'll be right back right here on America on the Road. Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague, Jackie Redd back with you for road test time and versus the crossovers
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish at 800-586-7112.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris T. Jackney Red back with you for road test time and versus the crossovers we're typically talking about here. This road test has two sports cars in it, and we're excited about that. I'm certainly excited to hear what you learned about the Subaru WRX. I'm going to tell you all about the newest of the Mazda Miatas. There are some significant changes there, but tell us about WRX.
Yeah, the big thing that I learned here before I go any further is that I'm still happy with my GR Corolla. You know, I think that this is one of that car's most direct competitors, and maybe I'm biased, but I've gotten very used to the way it works and I enjoy it. But in any case, this is the new Subaru WRX came out a couple of years ago. This is different than previous models. You get different styling. You still get the flat four engine and all-wheel drive, but they've kind of changed their approach to it. So there's no more STI model. You're going to lose the range-topping halo models. But before I go too far, Jack, have you driven the most recent WRX? And if so, what did you think about it?
You know, I don't believe I have. It's been a long time since I've driven any Subaru vehicles. I've got to remedy that, but what you tell me will be news to me, Chris.
Okay. So you can get into this car for just around $34,000. That's for the base model. I tested the TR, which is just under $43,000. And there's one trim above that, which is the GT. It comes with an automatic transmission only for around $45,000. So definitely not the cheapest car you can buy, but you get quite a bit for your money here. It's powered by a 2.4-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine. It's a 271 horsepower, 258 pound-feet of torque. A six-speed manual transmission is standard, but you can get a continuously variable transmission as well. So talking about the six-speed specifically because that's what my car had, it is fairly quick. The thing that I don't love about Subarus as compared to like the GR Corolla, the WRX specifically, is that it feels coarse. The engine feels coarse, and there's a lot of vibration and sound. But the accompanying acceleration and the thrill that comes with that just isn't there. It doesn't, all that sort of raw feeling leaves once you put your foot down. And it's very hard to describe, but it's plenty quick. It's around 5.5 seconds to 60, which is a little slower than the GR Corolla. But as I said, that sort of raw feeling that you get at idle kind of tapers away as you're going higher up in the RPM range. As I said earlier, you get all-wheel drive with this car. That's a WRX staple. In fact, all Subarus come with all-wheel drive except for the BRZ. Sorry, their two-door sports car. But, you know, Jack, the ride quality here is reasonable. This car handles very well. As I mentioned, it's a little bit noisier than I would like. But the thing that really kills me with the manual transmission on this car is the distance of the throws going from first to second to third. It really does feel like you're literally rowing a rowboat in this car. The throws are so long.
Wow.
And it makes it a little disruptive to try to find, you know, the right gear when you're doing everything else in the corner. So I think, you know, once you get used to it, again, this is probably just my Toyota bias here. But I think that, you know, the shifter could use some work in this car. Inside, the car generally comes with cloth upholstery. My TR trim came with Recaro seats, and it had Alcantara, which is like the synthetic suede. So you get a good grip. The seats are very nice and supportive. They're wide, and there's good bolstering here. You know, some of the seats, like in the Hyundai Elantra N and those vehicles, there's so much bolstering that I feel constricted. You know, I'm not a small person, but you know, I think Subaru struck a good balance between space and supportiveness in this car. And Jack, while we're at it, what do you think of Subaru's sportier interiors? I know you probably haven't driven the new WRX, but what do you think of the BRZ and some of the other stuff?
They've done a good job. I mean, Subaru interiors were never their high point, right? I think they're doing a much better job, I think, of making them, I guess, kind of driver-friendly, kind of driver-oriented. I think that it really makes a lot of sense for the WRX, for example.
I agree. You know, as I said, it is an engaging drive, but, you know, the shifter kind of threw it off for me. But, you know, they've done a good job making the interior feel sporty and look sporty while retaining some of the things that makes the, like the Impreza that it's kind of shared based on, with the practicality. So you get a good trunk and a decent back seat. The ergonomics are good. You know, it's a small cabin, so you're not really reaching around for anything. And as I said, you know, the gear shift is long enough that you don't have to reach very far. So no big issues there. This car has Subaru's 11.6-inch touchscreen. We've talked about this before, and I feel like people are going to get tired of hearing about it, Jack. But this is the portrait-oriented screen, so it's upright. And literally every vehicle control other than the volume and the tuning knob is contained within this system. So your heated seats, your climate controls, your stereo, navigation, everything is all in the system, which is great. But as we've talked about before, Subaru's infotainment system is a little bit clunky at times, and it's a little bit slow to load, which if you're going to put everything in the screen, it has to work perfectly every single time. And I think that this one falls short in a couple of areas. The TR comes with a good suite of safety equipment. You get adaptive cruise control, blind spot monitoring, forward collision alerts. So, you know, I think, Jack, the price here might be a little bit stout for me. I would personally opt for a lower trim of the WRX because you still get the same powertrain features. You just lack some of the tech goodies. But, you know, I think if you love Subarus and the WRXs and you want kind of a rally car, the WRX is a great choice.
Yeah. Well, I think it would be a great choice in Maine, too, where I think some rallying can take place. It's a cool place to do some rallying, I would think. So,
yes.
Think about doing that sometime, Chris. Well, I was driving the newest of the Mazda Miatas. Of course, it's referred to as the MX-5 around the world, but the MX-5 Miata here, because the Miata brand name means so much in America. And this was kind of like climbing into an old friend, or, you know, meeting up with an old friend. I go way, way back with Miata to having one as my kind of personal long-term test car when I was at Motor Trend Magazine. This was the original edition. And as different as this is, and as many decades as have gone by since that, there's an amazing similarity between what I drove just a few days ago and what I drove 30 years ago. And that's mostly all to the good. This is one of the few front engine rear drive sports cars you can still get out there. It now has a 2-liter four cylinder engine that brings with it 181 horsepower, not a ton of horsepower, and certainly not a ton of torque, 151 pound feet of torque. But through that 6-speed manual transmission, it's just a blast to drive still. And I think it's largely because this vehicle is small and light and does a lot of things right. I was driving the Grand Touring Edition, which gives you the choice of a manual transmission or a 6-speed automatic that has paddle shifters. I kind of, in some ways, was interested in driving a vehicle that had the paddle shifters, but I wasn't upset at all that I got the typical 6-speed manual transmission. Really kind of cool stuff. This has a thing that Mazda calls a kinematic posture control, which is interesting. It applies a little brake to the inner wheel during cornering, so kind of helps pull that wheel down as you're cornering, and makes the steering response a little better. You don't notice anything happening. You just notice that you're steering around corners very easily. Braking is better through the corners, too. It has a new power steering rack for 2024. Some changes up front. There's new LED daytime running lights, new LED tail lights, new wheel design, so that stuff's good. Inside, the gauge cluster has been refined, simplified. There's better graphics, I think. And it has an 8.8 infotainment display, which kind of sounds small, but in the context of a Miata, it's actually pretty big. I'm blathering about Miata a lot because I love this vehicle, but your take on Miata?
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the Miata is that Mazda has been able to improve it over the years, you know, add more safety equipment, add more tech, make it a little bit bigger, but it retains that attitude that, like you said, the front engine rear-wheel drive, the playful attitude, not a ton of power, but handling is on point and you're directly connected to the car. So I'm all for it. It's been a few years since I've driven one, but I really can't wait to get back behind the wheel.
Well, this is one, the epitome of driving the slow car fast as opposed to the fast car slow. This isn't a slow car, but it's certainly not a super fast car in any way, shape, or form. But it's just a blast to drive, and you can throw this around. I mean, a lot of people throw out the term go-kart-like handling in connection to the Miata, but I guess that's the best way to describe it. It's just so linear, so quick. You make a turn and boom, there you are. It's also, I think, quite a value. You can get a Miata Sport, the lowest line model, for about $29,000. Of course, it's a little car, but it has a bunch of good stuff, including the Active Sense safety features that include blind spot monitoring, rear cross traffic alert, smart brake support, lane departure warning. So good safety in this thing as standard equipment. A lot of other comfort and convenience stuff, keyless entry, automatic climate control, removable cup holders. I'm not sure how useful that is, but you can remove them. So, you know, a lot of good stuff. The vehicle I was driving is the Grand Touring. I actually expected it to be more expensive than about $35,000. And maybe I'm just getting attuned to the fact of how expensive vehicles are these days. But this had a bunch of additional stuff, adaptive front lighting. So it kind of turns the headlights around corners. You can see that. High beam control, traffic sign recognition, so you can see how much over the speed limit you're driving at any particular time, which I think is valuable. And some highlights like a new lip spoiler, aluminum alloy wheels, that kind of stuff. And then black leather seats inside. This is one of those vehicles, and I know you're 6 feet tall, Chris, and I'm 5'10". It's one of those vehicles that I wish were just that much bigger. Like, I feel like it's a 1/7-8 scale of what would fit for me. What's your take on that?
Yeah, for me, with the top up on a Miata, I feel like I'm sitting in a sardine can a little bit. But with the top open, you know, I get the wind in my, what little bit of hair I have left. So I'll take it.
Yeah, I love this car. I think it's a good value. I think at any level that you buy this, it's probably a good value. It's also one that's, I think, going to retain its value in a way a lot better than many other cars you would buy. There's just a continuity to Miata that other models don't have. So I think it's certainly one to look at. If you want to have a fun car, a Saturday morning car, a car you can just commute in by yourself and have some fun driving, it's a terrific one. So I think two good ones this week. Our special guest coming up in the next segment is Chevrolet bicyclist safety expert Mike Fry. He's a bicyclist himself, and we'll talk about bicycle safety and how that relates to the new Chevy Traverse. So stay with us for that, and we'll have more right here on America on the Road. Stay with us, and we'll be right back. And that was our interview with Chevrolet bicyclist safety expert Mike Fry. We'll have more when we come back. It will be listener question time, so please stay with us right here on America on the Road. We appreciate you being with us.
And here's the pitch.
Want to score some runs with your family? How about an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night vacation for 2 adults and 2 children at the Ocean Spa Hotel in Cancun for only $699? Includes airport pickup, hotel, and all food and drinks, including alcohol. And you can travel anytime in the next 12 months with no blackout dates. So visit CancunEscapes.com/radio to book a family vacation for 4 for only $699.
Going, going, gone with CancunEscapes.com/radio.
Members, it's here. Milo's Rewards Week deals for members only are up for grabs. Home decor, holiday tools, you name it, it's for less. Get up to 40% off store-wide on hundreds of items, including select power tools, tool storage, and ladders. So what are you waiting for? Join for free today and get instant access to Milo's Rewards Week deals. Lowe's knows home improvement. Offer valid 10/10 through 10/16. Program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
IBM and United Nations Development Program, UNDP, today launched 2 new interactive models on energy access and energy equity within UNDP's Global GeoHub platform. These innovative solutions are available to the general public and enable users to analyze complex energy issues through advanced AI technology and access a wide range of resources, helping support data-driven decision-making toward a just energy transition. Justina Nixon-Santil, Vice President and Chief Impact Officer at IBM.
We've brought together UNDP's knowledge and global leadership in sustainable development and IBM's breakthrough innovations in AI and hybrid cloud. Our aim is to empower leaders, organizations, and community members alike with insights to make impactful energy decisions around the world by making innovative models freely accessible to the public.
UNDP and IBM worked together over 2 years through the IBM Sustainability Accelerator using technologies such as IBM Watson X, IBM Cloud, and IBM Environmental Intelligence. Sponsored by IBM.
Getting together with friends to watch the game? Then you'll need American Premium Vodka. Handcrafted and pure, this is the one thing all Americans can agree on. Founder Mark Gus Scott chose the finest natural elements America has to offer, and you'll taste how great it is to be an American. Now available at BevMo, GoPuff, Hy-Vee, and Fairway stores. American Premium Vodka. This is the America we need right now. Go to AmericanPremiumVodka.com. Celebrate responsibly.
Back, everybody, to America on the Road. Jackie Redd back with you. And we have a really interesting guest talking about an interesting topic. Mike Fry is a systems engineer at General Motors, works with Chevrolet and other General Motors brands. And he's also a bicyclist, as I am. And I've been, heaven knows how long I've been riding a bike. Multiple decades, let's put it that way. I still love doing it. And Mike, you're an avid bicyclist too, I'm told, right?
Yes. Yes, I ride approximately 5,000 miles a year.
Wow.
And do a little racing here and there.
What kind of racing do you do?
My passion is mountain bike. So on off the roads in the single track, but I do participate in some gravel road events. I do not race anything on the road, but I do ride on the road because I live in a concrete jungle and it's easier to ride from my house than it is to put my bike in my truck and drive someplace to ride. So
right. So you do a lot of on-street driving, as we do. Actually, I live in a town that has a fairly famous on-road bike race called the Manhattan Mile. That's
okay.
You know, takes place every year. Very, very cool. I live about 300 yards from the part of the race course, so that's pretty cool. We see the.
Well, that's pretty exciting.
It's very, very cool. But bicycle safety important, and it seems as if I'm seeing maybe more bicyclists than ever on the road. I think safety is such an important issue with them. Let's talk about that a little bit. You know, how do you feel when you're on the road with all these big vehicles that are around us all the time?
Yeah, so growing up riding bikes at a very young age, BMX and everything, I spent a lot of time just riding in the dirt and stuff. And then I went into riding motorcycles. So that sort of taught me a lot of defensive maneuvers. And believe it or not, a lot of the defensive maneuvers from driving a motorcycle can apply to a bicycle, like the way you can quickly dodge a pothole or an obstacle in the road. And then your head is always on a swivel. So when I'm riding my bicycle out on the roads like I was earlier today, I constantly am looking at driver's eyes.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's tough because there's so many tinted windows. And if I can't make eye contact, I wave that vehicle on. Whether they sit there or not, I will sit there until the vehicle goes, because I don't know whether they're seeing me, because a lot of times you'll see people staring at their phone.
Yeah, it's
instead
right
of paying attention to cross traffic.
Yeah. Yep. As I was a motorcyclist back in the day. Don't do that very much anymore, but riding my bicycle. And when I'm on the road, I'm always going to myself, now which of these cars is going to kill me? You know, I kind of always have that in the back of my mind, because they're covered by a lot of steel and iron and rubber, and we're not on a bicycle.
Right.
You really have to be defensive-minded when you're on a bicycle, don't you?
Absolutely do. You have to. So, like, the technology on the bicycle side has really come along to incorporate awareness. So I use a daylight flashing light on the front of my bicycle. Then on the back, I have a red light that flashes, and it's also a radar unit. So
really?
It will detect me when there's a car coming up behind me. So I'm aware, and, you know, I stay to the right. So very similar to, like, in the Chevy Traverse, the technology that we're implementing here for the bicyclist alert is, you know, when you're driving and you pass a cyclist on your right-hand side, you're getting notified that there was an object there. Right. And if you put your turning signal on to turn right, you're going to get some notifications in the car telling you that, hey, there's an obstacle that you had passed. Be alert. Check your blind spots. So a lot of that technology is going between bike and car.
Mm-hmm. Is that different than bicyclist detection that we see in some other systems, or is it largely the same, but maybe a bit more sophisticated? Walk me through that, would you?
What other systems are you referring to?
Well, I see a lot of forward-facing systems that also have bicyclist detection, pedestrian detection, that kind of thing. It seems like there's some rearward and blind spot detection in what you're talking about.
Yes, with the cameras that are the cameras and the sensors that are built into the front, the side, and the rear of the vehicles, they all work in conjunction together to create the alertness for the driver. And I think, I'm not knowing what other manufacturers do, but we have this system that came in part of our five-star safety program for our vehicles is what sort of what drove this initiative to be implemented. So it was utilizing some of the existing technology with some newer technology added for the vehicles.
Yeah. Well, it makes so much sense. And oftentimes bicyclists are not all that visible. Probably some of them, in my experience, are not as safe as I'm certain you are. And we're seeing a lot of that. We're also seeing a bunch of electric bicycles on the road.
Yes.
Now. I mean, and they seem, you know, they're ridden by often adolescents. You know, they're not even adults, right? And they seem to take traffic laws as maybe a suggestion as opposed to actual rules. What are your thoughts on that? What are you seeing?
Well, that's where I think, you know, the education has to be sort of presented to the operator of if it's a e-bike, whether it's a scooter, and the hoverboards. You see a lot of those because it's an easy way to get around, right? If you're in a metropolitan area, downtown Detroit, Toronto, New York, probably Los Angeles, right? Who wants to drive in all that traffic? So they're going to pull up these little scooters where they think they don't have to abide by the rules. But that's just where the technology and the vehicles come into play because they're there to assist the driver. The driver's ultimately responsible because the driver has to recognize the alerts. Because quite often, the operator of the slow-moving vehicle is not going to be alert, nor do they care. They think that they're invincible. You know, I think the younger kids have this stigma about them that they're invincible and they can do no harm zipping around through traffic.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of amazing. As I say, stop signs seem like maybe a suggestion to them as something that's
correct
for real. And that's dangerous to us all, isn't it? I mean, that's something that
certainly
has to be instilled in them.
Yeah, it's
when you are on the road as a driver of an automobile.
Mm-hmm.
Walk me through how your mentality, because you've got to be super attuned to bicyclists and others, pedestrians, motorcyclists, all those. What's your approach?
Yeah. So, for example, the other day, where I live is a huge cycling community. And so there's no bike lanes on the one road that I travel a lot that goes to my house. So I believe in the 3-foot rule, which is a Michigan-based law, where when you go to pass a cyclist, you're supposed to give them 3 feet. Quite often, that's not the case, right?
Yeah.
So I like to sort of demonstrate how it should be done to other vehicle drivers that are out there. And then, you know, if I'm at a 4-way stop and I see a cyclist coming up, I'll wait and then wave them through. Right. So it's like, you're always have to be alert. I like to use polarized glasses in dusk and dawn situations that help illuminate things a little bit better. So I have better visual.
Yeah.
And then I really don't want to rely totally on all of the instruments in my vehicle. You know, I like to be sharp as a tack and be alert. So it's sort of like driving a bicycle on the road is your head is on a swivel. And I think operating a vehicle, you should sort of have the same behaviors.
I think you're especially attuned to this because what I'm told is you were struck by a vehicle while riding your bicycle. Is that correct?
I was, yeah.
Walk us through that whole scenario. I'm curious about that.
Yeah. So last summer, I was riding to meet a group of friends for a big group ride. And there's this road that's relatively busy because it was about 5:30, 5:45 p.m., so rush hour traffic, and I chose to get on the sidewalk because this particular boulevard didn't have any bike lanes. So I got onto the, I was traveling east. I went onto the westbound traffic was up on the sidewalk, and I was approaching this private drive to like a shopping complex. And I saw that there was a truck there, and I slowed down, and I had a bright colored outfit on. I had a headlight flashing, and I was ringing my bell. And since he stopped before the actual sidewalk crossed, I thought that he saw me, right, and was like, okay. So as I kept going, and I wasn't going really fast because I wanted to, you know, make sure everything was okay. As soon as I got in front of him, he stepped on the gas, tried to get out of the intersection, and I banged my fist on the hood of his vehicle before I went to the ground so he would actually stop, because I fear if I didn't notify him, he would have just kept going.
Yeah,
because he was trying to get out that fast. So he knocked me down, ran over my bike. And lucky the oncoming cars that I got rolled into the oncoming traffic, they were alert enough and stopped. So I'm fortunate I was able to get up. I wasn't injured that bad because when I went down, I rolled. But 2 weeks later, I discovered I cracked a rib. Oh, wow. Because yeah. I choked on something eating and or whatever it was, and I coughed. And I'm like, oh, that's painful. And so... You know, it was the first and only time. Well, I hope it's going to be the only time that I was ever hit by a vehicle, but it definitely erased my awareness. Like, if I go to that situation again, I'll go behind the vehicle or I'll stop until I truly make eye contact. Like, I thought I made eye contact with this guy, but it was a really sunny day. It was the last few days of July. So, lessons learned from my part and for him, you know, he was very sorry he did this. You know, I don't blame him, but. You know, accidents happen. Just unfortunately, I was involved.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the good part of it, there was a learning experience, number one, several good parts of it. You weren't seriously injured, although a broken rib is not fun. I've had a similar situation, and I know it can be painful. And it's particularly yep. painful when you're trying to exert yourself. I remember trying yes. to run after breaking a rib, and that didn't go very well at all.
Right.
But... what would you recommend, number one, to bicyclists as they are out on the road? And then I'm also curious what you'd recommend to motorists vis-a-vis bicyclists and others.
Well, bicyclists, you know, be courteous of cars. You know, just realize that they're bigger. we're slower. Just it's not a contest who can go the fastest. You know, it's just really... just be respectful. And I think it goes both ways,
yeah.
right? Is communication. The one thing I wish drivers would do, like earlier I mentioned, the tinted windows in the vehicles, and it's hard to make eye contact. If they're waving a cyclist on, I wish they would roll their window down or flash a light, something to acknowledge we're there. Because otherwise, you don't know what they're doing. So, and really, it's just everybody just needs to like slow down. Eliminate the distractions. Drivers, put your phones away. Cyclists, stop at the stop sign. Stop at the red lights. Be courteous. And I think we'll have a safer environment.
Yeah, I think if we just treat each other the way we would like to be treated, we're going to
yes.
come out pretty well on that kind of situation. And you know,
exactly.
well, great tips. I'm glad that Chevrolet has this technology that's going to help with bicycle safety. That is terrific. And I thank you for sharing all that with us, Mike.
My pleasure, Jack.
Appreciate it. Nice to talk to you. Safe bicycling
Likewise.
Out there. You know, win some more
you
races. That is terrific. And you know, maybe I'll be able to follow your exploits on Facebook or Instagram or something like that. That would be cool to see.
Excellent.
But thanks for being with us on America on the Road. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Stay with us, everybody. We'll be right back right here on America on the Road.
Looking for a cruise vacation? Cruise.com is offering its exclusive sale of the year to all listeners to this station. Every major cruise line, including Royal Caribbean, Carnival, Princess, MSC, and more, are on sale now. Call 1-800-430-7924 and book one of these deals while supplies last. Cruises start from as low as $39 per person per day. There isn't a better vacation value to places like Alaska, Europe, the Caribbean, South America, and more. Call one of the largest cruise specialists in the world at 1-800-430-7924. We'll find you a vacation that includes drinks, Wi-Fi, excursions, and more. Call 1-800-430-7924. Again, that's 1-800-430-7924. Space is limited. Don't miss your opportunity to book the best deal of the year. That's 1-800-430-7924. Sponsored by Cruise.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now, before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Welcome back to America on the Road with Chris Teague. This is Jack Nierad back with you, and we're so glad you're with us. We really do appreciate it. And if you like America on the Road, please let others know about it. Let them know where you listen to America on the Road. We would appreciate that. This is listener question time, and we have some pretty good listener questions for you here. And if you'd like to submit a listener question, send it to editor@drivingtoday.com. That's editor@drivingtoday.com. And here is a question we have. This is from Leon in West Hollywood, California, Chris. I'm seeing more autonomous taxis driving around the Los Angeles area. Are they safe? And when are we going to see this technology in cars we can buy?
Oh, this question, I'm going to make smoke start coming out of my ears here. I'm going to answer the second question first, or at least give you my opinion on the second question. I don't think we're going to see fully autonomous vehicles for sale anytime this decade. I think the amount of legislation, regulation, training, infrastructure that needs to go into making them completely safe for all roads is massive. And I think we have other bigger problems to worry about in this country that don't involve autonomous vehicles. Are they safe? I think to a degree, they are safe. I think that, as shocking as it sounds, people are very good at sorting out complicated traffic issues with their eyes and their brain and their ears. And computers, as far as good as they are at almost everything else, they're not as great at doing some of these things. So a lot of these companies you'll see, even in California where they're testing these on roads, they have people in the background kind of monitoring this and jumping in when they need to. I think even that's a little bit of a misnomer, calling them up fully autonomous taxis. But, you know, I think they're mostly safe, Jack, but I think there are always exceptions.
Yeah, interesting to see them. I have seen some of them on the roads here, and pretty wild to see a car without a driver behind the wheel. And that pretty much wraps up our show for this week. Before we go, I'd like to mention my newest book, Dance in the Dark. It's a crime thriller inspired by true crime, and It's available on Amazon in both ebook and paperback form, so look for that. If you like our show, please pass it on. Listen on this radio station each week and let your friends know when you hear America on the Road, when and where you hear America on the Road. Let them know about that. And a podcast of our show is available each week too, isn't it, Chris?
That is correct. A quick Google search for the America on the Road podcast will bring us to you on all the major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and the others. Like us, leave us a review, download our show. All those things will help us, and you can take us with you wherever you go.
We would love that. Thanks to our Sports Byline Network stations for carrying America on the Road. We do appreciate that. Most of all, thanks to you for listening to America on the Road. We know you have a lot of choices, so we are honored by the fact you're listening to us. And please join us again next time for another edition of America on the Road.
You're listening to the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network.